Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed. In the first lesson today from the Acts of the Apostles, St. Luke is describing the Jewish feast of Pentecost, which takes place each year 50 days after Passover and celebrates the children of Israel receiving the law of Moses at Mount Sinai. The setting for today's reading is Jerusalem, 50 days after Christ's final Passover, when the holy city was once again filled with pilgrims who had come from all over the Holy Land and the Mediterranean to offer sacrifice to God in the temple. At this point, 7 weeks after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the apostles were called the 11 rather than the 12 because Judas Iscariot killed himself on Good Friday. And although Matthias had just been chosen to replace Judas, he had not yet begun his ministry. Sacred Scripture tells us that all the apostles had serious character flaws and made bad decisions, and the Gospels are remarkably candid about that fact. During the 3 years when the apostles were students of the Lord Jesus, they more often than not misunderstood what Christ was trying to teach them. They quarreled among themselves about who was the most important. They were often both ignorant and arrogant. Some were nakedly ambitious and wanted to hold power in the coming kingdom. And they were boastful about their loyalty to Christ and the things they were able to do in his name. But when Jesus was arrested, they were all terrified that they would die with him. And so they all ran for their lives. And all of this messy humanity is on full display in the sacred scriptures. Imagine what modern spin doctors would attempt to do with this story to advance the cause of Christ, smoothing over the obvious flaws of these 12 men to offer a more attractive vision of life in the church. Such misdirection would surely attempt to explain away the greed and treachery of Judas Iscariot, a man chosen by Christ himself to be one of the 12 foundation stones of the New Jerusalem. But instead, the scriptures present the unvarnished truth about the sins of the apostles, because that too is part of the good news of salvation, both for the 12 and for us. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed. Friends, the words of Peter that follow this introduction are the first public proclamation to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. And our reading this morning contains only a small portion of Peter's powerful Pentecost sermon. So please open your Bibles at home today and read all of chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles to hear again the words of salvation as they were first proclaimed. Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. St. Luke then goes on to describe the reaction of those who listened to Peter's proclamation. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. But why? Why were they cut to the heart? Well, that is the power of the Word of God, which the letter to the Hebrews teaches us is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. But even if we are cut to the heart by the Word of God, we must still make a decision for Christ or against him, and then shape our lives by that decision. Some of us, on hearing the word of God, cry hot tears. But then later, we turn away and try to forget what happened so that we can return to our old lives and our cherished sins. Some of us respond with anger and bitterness because we will not be changed even by the word of God. Some scoff and deride and pretend that the word of God did not pierce us, hoping that the feeling will pass so that we can surrender once again to cynicism and then tell ourselves that religion really is ridiculous, that Christ is a fake, and that his church is bogus, as of course all rational people know. But on the day of Pentecost, when those who heard the gospel were cut to the heart and asked, "What are we to do, my brothers?" Simon Peter, now forgiven for his follies and failures and emboldened by the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all who are far off, whomever the Lord our God will call." Remember that the Lord Jesus began his own preaching with a call to conversion. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And now Simon Peter, the vicar of Christ and the head of the apostolic college, takes up the call and begins to fulfill the Great Commission. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Then Luke tells us that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day. And thus did the church grow from a tiny number of people to a multitude. But as we know from our long history, that multitude can too easily become a mob of baptized pagans instead of an assembly of faithful disciples, unless each and every one of us constantly hears the gospel of salvation, is cut to the heart, repents of our sins, and makes a daily decision to follow Christ Jesus, who is described today by the first letter of Peter as the shepherd and bishop of our souls. But for the gospel to be heard, it must first be proclaimed, and that requires preachers to be sent. Preachers who themselves have been cut to the heart and who have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ in the obedience of faith. Just as Judas was replaced by Matthias, just as Mark learned the gospel from Peter, and just as Paul gave to Timothy and Titus the sacred duty to continue the ministry of word and sacrament, so men are still called in every age to be shepherds in the church and servants of Christ the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for his sheep. Each year on this fourth Sunday of Easter, the church asks us to pray for vocations to the priesthood and religious life. In other words, we are asking the Lord to call men to offer themselves for the ministry of word and sacrament as presbyters or priests, and to call young men and women to follow Christ in the vows of consecrated living in religious communities. Each Wednesday afternoon here at St. Mary's, during an hour of Eucharistic adoration, we offer that same petition to the Lord for vocations to the priesthood and religious life, especially from our parish. And in 7 weeks, we will see a beautiful fulfillment of those prayers. On Friday, June 19th, Deacon Reyes Palomares, a son of St. Mary's, will be ordained to the priesthood for the Diocese of Charleston, along with three other men with whom he has been in priestly formation for many years. These four new priests will take their places in parishes around South Carolina, and Father Palomares is being assigned to St. Andrew's Church in Clemson, while also having the care of the Spanish-speaking community at St. Paul's Church in Seneca. Father Palomares will celebrate his first solemn Mass here at St. Mary's at 1 p.m. on Sunday, June 21st, and then other Masses here on July 4th and 5th. Now, in our Wednesday afternoon Holy Hour, we pray not only for vocations to the priesthood, we pray also for young men and women to embrace religious life and express the grace of their baptism as witnesses to the radical demands of the gospel through the vows or evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And now that prayer has also been answered. A young woman of our parish made her first vows yesterday among the poor clares of perpetual adoration at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Hansville, Alabama, Mother Angelica's community. Miss Gabrielle Bro is now Sister Maria Caritas of Jesus Our Redeemer. And we give thanks and praise to God for the grace of this beautiful vocation of contemplative life in His church. These four new priests coming to our diocese and the new Poor Clare in Alabama remind us that even now, the church and the gospel she proclaims are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to change lives because Jesus Christ is Lord, and He calls us to follow Him in the way of the cross. But why should we accept the easy yoke and light burden of Christ's authority in our lives? Because, as St. Peter tells us in our second lesson, Christ Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body upon the cross, so that free from sin, we might live for righteousness. By His wounds, Peter concludes, you have been healed. By the wounds of the Good Shepherd, we have been healed. Friends, we know that the church in our time is a shambles. But when has that ever not been the case? We must never allow the scandalously frail humanity of the apostles or of their successors, starting with me, to distract us from the fact that when we make a decision for Jesus Christ by grace through faith, when we believe in His gospel and repent of our sins, when we receive God's mercy through word and sacrament, and when we live in Christ's church as faithful disciples, then we lose nothing of what is authentically human, and we gain everything in the abundant life of grace, including our place in the new creation and the promise of everlasting glory, because Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti, Christ is risen, truly He is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.